It is Tuesday, February 12th. And before we do anything else today, let me read the Full Abundance Changing Prayer with all of us. If you're brand new and you don't know what we're doing, we have been doing 40 days or longer of the Full Abundance Changing Prayer. It's one of the steps in the new money book. It is very reliable for shifting the energy field into receptivity and openness and worthiness. And so we've been doing it as a group for 40 days. If you're brand new and you like this prayer, you can Google it if you want to see a copy of it, or it's inside the money book. I think it's also inside of the Changing Prayer book. And next week will probably be the last week I do it for the whole group on the call, but I've been reading that some of you are just going to keep doing it all year, every day, which I think is a fantastic idea. It's kind of like medicine for the psyche. If you figure it's a culture that to different degrees has injected into each person a fair amount of unworthiness, not deserving, fear that you'll miss out, won't get yours, whatever that is, rather than knowing that the divine is actually the source of all. This is a kind of like an inoculation vaccine. I don't want to call it a vaccine. There's too much about vaccines going on. But, you know, it's got that quality to it of being a medicine. So let me read it and we'll start there. Just focusing on your breath for a moment. And letting yourself anchor inside. Feel as if there is a throne at your own heart. And you are able, no matter what the external conditions are, you can step up onto the throne that is at your heart. And you can enter that seat of worthiness that no one else can take from you without your permission. Allow yourself to settle onto that seat of worthiness, however you envision it. Divine Beloved, allow me to give with complete ease and abundance, knowing you are the unlimited source of all. Let me be an easy, open conduit for your prosperity. Let me trust that all of my own needs are always met in amazing ways, and it's safe to give freely as my heart guides. And equally, please let me feel wildly open to receiving. May I know my own value, beauty, and worthiness without question. Let me allow others the supreme pleasure of giving to me. May I feel worthy to receive in every possible way. Change me into one who can fully love, forgive, and accept myself so I may carry your light without restriction. Let everything that needs to go, go. And let everything that needs to come, come. I am utterly your own. You are me. I am you. We are one. All is well. And then just feel yourself again on that throne in your heart, however you imagine that. You are there. You are worthy. You can sit in your own center. You can sit in your own center and remember your own worthiness, knowing that as you open to receive, it's easy to also give, that you are a channel for abundance. You receive and you give. You receive and you give as you sit in the throne of your own heart. Just let yourself be there for a couple moments. You may hear a few words of advice. You may just feel the energy. And then as you're ready, you can slowly come back out, remembering everything that occurred. So, I don't know if you could hear that, but, you know, somebody had written in on the page this morning that I'd mentioned my animals have been getting very affected by this Chiron transit. And you may have noticed that yourself. This Chiron transit is no small thing, and you could probably hear them fighting during the while we were in that meditation. I want to talk about this Chiron transit for a moment because it ends in a week. And the first thing I wanted to do is briefly read. A bunch of you are not on the Facebook page. Not everybody in the forum follows the Facebook forum page. So I want to briefly read what I posted this morning. It's an excerpt from this astrologer, Michael Luden, that I quote from time to time because I think when he's right on, he's really right on. And this is a really good description of, here's Chiron, the planet, the wounded healer, bringing up the deepest wounds in each person. That basically it's doing this as it sits at 29 degrees Pisces for one more week. And then next Tuesday, it's going to move over into Aries. So its purpose is really to bring up that wound. So if you're there and you're saying, you know, well, why is the universe torturing me? Why am I having to face this or that? It's because that's how Chiron works, by bringing the wound to the surface, by bringing it to the surface and then allowing it to be felt and released, offered, given to the divine, even blessed. There's a way to really bless the wound. So let me just read what he wrote for a moment, and then I'll add to what I want to say about it. So he says, this is really apropos to this week as it's getting ready to leave next week. We've all been hurt through sorrow, loss, death, or disappointment. We've come to a fork in the road now. And such moments can be joyful indeed if you put yourself in the right mind and understand that even separations of love, though sad or tearful, even goodbyes, will open up a new path for you and for loved ones who must go on their own journey. If you can look upon this change as necessary to rebalance your life and reconnect you to your evolving, authentic self, it automatically becomes less dramatic and even less heartbreaking. Right now, as Chiron passes from 29 degrees Pisces to zero Aries, this is the really critical part to me, all artificial parts of you are falling away. Your cover is blown, and you're getting a chance to live your authentic self. it's humbling to see the fantasy movie that was going on in your head for so long. Because we live in a world of sensations, both physical and mental, we're forever seeking pleasure and fleeing from pain. All kinds of pain, physical, mental, spiritual, the pain of regret, all of that. And then doctors give us pills or injections to keep us comfortable and as far away from pain as possible. Yet it must be said, and here's the point of Chiron, pain itself can be a crucial element in healing and transformation. Each of us, in our own way, privately, deep down, is going through such a process. And there's really no escape from facing this pain because it's vital to our evolution as sentient beings. So I just read some of the highlights of that, but I think he really nailed it. It's like the purpose of the Chiron is digging up what is the core wound that maybe you've identified with your whole life, but is a lie. It's simply been something that's either been carried from prior incarnations or it's been something learned in the childhood. It could be something that says, no matter what I do, it's always a failure, or, you know, I'm fundamentally unworthy no matter what happens. I mean, everyone knows their own wound. And if you can face it, just turn to it. It's so easy, so much easier to do with this work we're doing with the inner child than to try to do it as just some, you know, vague part of yourself. If you see that wound as residing in the inner child, and then you begin to turn to it and to say, let me love you. Let me honor you. Let me begin to care for you. That's where the change point comes. And I wanted to actually, I know I'm reading a lot of stuff today, but it's one of those days because I really want to give you all information that I can give you here. And somebody in the forum, man, the quality of what people have been posting pretty much since the start of the year has sort of skyrocketed, and we're just getting these, so much amazing stuff is getting posted on that forum page that I keep wanting to share it. So let me just read what someone wrote on the page after they read the Michael Luden thing that I just read you, because Anne wrote this, and it's exactly where a lot of people are at. She said, yes, this is so spot on for me right now. Literally while listening to last week's call, I received a very upsetting email that dredged up all sorts of dark and painful things from the past. Information about events that happened in my family before I was even born. And my first reaction was anger and upset over the unearthing of all this, secrets and deceptions that simmered under the surface and that shaped my childhood. But then I had to stop in my tracks and acknowledge that this is exactly the wound that needs to be brought into the light and healed. What timing! I'm almost embracing this situation with open arms. I'm ready to release a past wound that I've been carrying without even knowing the source. And, you know, this is really how it works. Like the instinct, this wound, Chiron will dig up the wound, and then this instinct taught by our culture is like, ooh, that's painful. It must be bad. It's time for me to get mad at the universe for bringing this, as if the universe is an external entity torturing us, as opposed to the inner self itself is bringing it to the surface in order to be felt, offered, embraced, and released. And I'll tell you, I was on the phone the other night with a really good friend of mine, and he was talking to me about this, you know, pain that he's going through on every level, all kinds of insecurity and self-doubt and, you know, maybe self-hatred. And then he said, you know, but I just want to be awakened. I just want to be awakened, and I want all this shit to stop. So why can't the universe just stop all this crap so I can be awakened? And I just started laughing because it's so often what people say who are focused on awakening. It's the opposite of what's true. When you can turn to the so-called shit, when you can turn, like, when, you know, Anne wrote that thing about suddenly the family secret is on the table, like these shadows are brought to light, or, you know, suddenly all the self-hatred or all the unworthiness, it's all right there. Chiron is so efficient. It brings it all up to the surface. And at that point, if you can say yes to it, yes, I'm blessing you. I'm blessing you. You're no longer. Come on. Sorry, I have to take both cats out. I'll be right back.
All right. That's it. That's it. You banished until Tyra. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. Oh, my baby. Come on. Everybody out. Holy mama.
Right. Well, that was perfect timing. Anyway, it's at that time when it comes to the surface, when the darkness comes to the surface, you can say, I bless this. I bless this self-hatred. It's not really me. It's a learned response to an insane culture. The self-hatred has never been you. The unworthiness has never been you. When you can look at it right in the eye and just say, I bless this. Let me take care of the child who's carrying all this baggage, that I can say to it, it's okay, honey. Let me love you now. This stuff doesn't have to hold you hostage anymore. And the only way that it can come to light is by being brought to the surface. So that's what this transit does. And so I wanted to read you another piece of a letter from somebody else, because, it, again, you know, you guys are getting the hang of this, and the things that you're writing about this are so beautiful. This one was from Jeffrey, was also on the forum page, and he said, he and his partner have been having all these challenging financial things go on, and they've had to, you know, cancel events and do all these things because they haven't had the funds they usually have. So then he says, this episode has brought me so much shame. It's brought me to a profoundly familiar and dark place that I've known well in this life. When I finally decided to identify it, all I heard were the words, you are worthless. And that's been a ruling concept in my life, a deep abiding belief that below everything, below the joy and all the beauty I've experienced, below that, down at ground level, is a dark, ugly voice saying, you are worthless. However, in my meditations and throughout the day now, I've been looking at that idea. I love this so much. I mean, this is how you do it. And I've been talking to my sweet inner boy about that. And I've been saying, no, honey, not worthless, worthful, worthy, and so beautiful. I love you so much. And these thoughts, this self-talk, is shaking me from my darkness. And it's waking my joyfulness and my optimism and even my love for myself. And even now, I guess, you know, basically what he's saying is, you know, he still doesn't know how the finances are going to work out yet. But he says, I'm feeling this love and power and hope very much due to this work. So, you know, this is what the Chiron's trying to do. If you don't shirk it, if you don't say, oh, I just want it to be over so I can be awakened. It's like, this is the awakening. This isn't like some Disneyland in the future. This is the awakening when you can turn to it and know you are not that, but you are the source of compassion and love that can turn to that darkness and hold it in your arms. That is the chironic healing. So I hope that really gives you a feeling. You know, it's not like it just all ends next Tuesday and Chiron goes into Aries, and it'll then bring up more issues about authenticity and power, because that's what that sign's about. But I would say, don't worry about that right now. We have a very rich week remaining of Chiron in Pisces. And they often say that right before a planet changes signs, the gifts or the messages really start coming, like with abandon. They're really coming because the planet wants to be like, hey, I'm giving you a chance here to really send love to this and let it heal through the act of your own love and acceptance. I mean, that line, you know, where they say that anything you resist persists. I've often thought about that back when, you know, I was in a certain spiritual group 20 years ago, and people so often would say things like, oh, I just hate being trapped on this world with all of its ugliness. I just want to be in a alternate world that's just beautiful and love. And it's like, no, this isn't really how it works. It works by carrying the love into the dimension where we've chose to incarnate right now. It doesn't come from cursing it. That just keeps reinstating it. So I think that's really the message of Chiron, that no matter how brutal the wound might feel, there's a shared humanity. Everybody's got their wound. No one doesn't have one. And that when you can turn to it and say, come into my arms, you're really like saying to the shadow, come into my arms, let me give you all the love you never thought you deserved. I'm finally ready to give it to you. Just like Jeffrey did in the letter, just like Anne wrote on the page, it's like, this is how you do it. So I hope that helps. And then to add to that, I also want to say today is quite an interesting addition to this final week of Chiron, because Mars and Uranus are conjunct tonight at 10:19 California time. And all I want to say about that, I'm not saying it to create fear. Mars and Uranus is a very unstable energy. Uranus is the awakener and Mars is that forward thrust of energy. And so they're together. Be really careful if you're traveling, you're in a car, even if you're driving. Every so often I let you know when there's transits like this, just stay really conscious. If you're using a knife, if you're cooking, as much as you can, slow down today. Those planets are in Aries, which is highly impatient. It also rules anger. You could end up having an outburst at somebody that later you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Now I have to go clean it up for the next 2 weeks. Just really basic rules for Mars Uranus, like take a breath before you talk. If you really feel yourself having a super emotional, agitated response, take 2 breaths. And then be really conscious while traveling in any way. Not, like I say, every so often someone writes in and they're like, you shouldn't tell us these things. It creates fear. And I'm like, no. Like, you can either ignore these parts of the call or use them for what they're meant. Nothing on the forum is everything in the forum is actually meant to alleviate fear, you may have noticed. But if it just take it for just an awareness to be conscious today, don't space out because other people may be spacing out behind their wheels, the whole thing. And if you don't have to travel somewhere, wait and go tomorrow. Let's just, you know, you don't have to. All right. Wanted to tell you that. Also, I did want to say this. I think most of you in the forum, probably the vast majority of you, are getting the money book. But I wanted to say, if you're thinking to yourself, oh, you know, money's not my issue. Thank God, money's not my issue. I don't worry about it. So I don't need the money book. I just want you to know that 90% of the money book really takes you into this deep dive with how to offer in a real way, not offering through an agenda, and also work with the child, and also work with receiving and self-love. And it's really kind of a program for how to let the divine truly take over. It's sort of the book that, you know, in a way, I didn't know how to do it back when I wrote OO. So all I knew how to do was give you a lot of fun stories, which was good. But now it's years later, and I've somehow, it came together. Oh, there's actually a systematic way that you can learn to let the divine take over your life. And that's what the book actually is. Even though it's sort of hinged on money, a lot of you are quickly seeing people are writing in and they're like, oh my God, I finally know how to handle my relationship now. I finally know how to handle my work now, because everything that's in the book can be applied to any topic far beyond money. So it's a really, really, if you're in this forum and you're really excited to learn to live that way, this book is like a textbook, really more than any of the others, because it's all laid out. So it was so hard for me to do, but now that it's done, it's like, oh, there's really a way that anybody could learn how to do this. And then the forum can support you as you do it. So, all right, enough on that. Oh, I did, you know, this is just something that Matt said to me last week that I just loved so much. I just had to throw into the mix before we go on to questions. You know, he was saying that he thought that so many people were responding to the money book because we live in a world where money is the God that we're given. It's like, a lot, like if you really think about it, money is the God, it is the king that we're sort of taught to worship. And so if you're actually viewing this not from a place of how do I get more, how can I have more, that's still letting it be the ruler. When you're finally saying, oh no, I actually know who the real ruler is, the real ruler is the great I on the inside, the great self, which is the conscious connection to the divine, that's the ruler, then you're actually taking money out of, you know, being the king of the universe, and you're saying, oh no, I'm returning the true ruler back to power. So I think he's right about that. Like I didn't even think about it while I was writing it. All right. So I think I'm gonna I'm going to go on to start to go through some of these questions. So, let's see here. All right. Now, you may, the person who sent this letter in asked me not to read it on the call, but I have to read parts of it. I won't say who it's from. It's so well written that I cannot not share this. It's somebody else who did not receive a gift in the gift exchange that we did. And the reason that I want to share this is that the way she worked out the experience of not receiving the gift is an exact example of what I'm talking about with Chiron. So I'm going to read you part of the letter because I really love what she said. And basically, if you're new, we did a gift exchange over the holidays, and there was a tiny handful of people that, even though they sent a gift to their partner, never heard back. And if you apply Chiron to this example, it's like, well, Chiron would be like, oh, why, you know, the wound, the little kid's wound would be like, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Why did I manifest this? Am I undeserving? Am I unworthy? When you're viewing it from the lens of everything's happening for you to bring the unconscious parts of the shadow to the surface so that they no longer rule you, it's a very different understanding. So let me just read you a touch of what she said, because I just, sorry, she's too good of a writer for me not to share this. Anyway, so she mailed her thing off, and then she never heard back from her partner. And then she says, you see, when I was first paired with my partner, the thought went through my mind, well, here we go. I'll bet you this will be one more time where I'll be doing the giving and I won't be given back. So I actually wasn't upset, but I was smug. I was like thinking, yeah, I got that one. I saw it coming. Of course I wasn't going to receive, because people do nothing but take and take, and they rarely surprise me. Okay, so it's great. She's there. She got the wound. That's the wound that was coming up. That was the core belief. And then she says, and this was all followed by an epic Gen X eye roll. I love that. She said, I'd absolutely expected to be paired with someone who wasn't going to hold up their end of the exchange. And the universe gave me just that. Now, if I were a follower of The Secret, I might think, oh, that's because I'm vibrating at a low level, blah, 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 I need to do better. But because I understand this work, I saw that it was a belief that I needed to heal. I was probably only 6 when I realized that I wasn't loved and I was going to have to do everything alone. I knew any affection given was just as quickly snatched away. And once people had taken what they wanted, they would dispose of you. And over time, the belief that I would be unloved, that people were grasping and took whatever they could get, and that no one would give back, at least not without strings, that became like the column of low pressure in the center of a tornado. I mean, how could I not read this to you? This is so freaking exquisite, the way she's describing it. She goes, that belief in the unworthiness became like the column of low pressure in the center of a tornado, the core around which everything revolves, invisible until it's filled with dirt and debris. So what became clear to me after some time of holding the inner child, who was indeed feeling very hurt and betrayed by having given and not received yet again, was that the gift in this was the realization that this belief is still at the center, driving everything. I keep thinking I've surrendered and healed it, but it's like a spiral staircase. I come to the same point, but from a higher perspective. And again, an exquisite image. Having the light shone on this wound through this experience, just as Chiron is about to restart, is a profound gift, even if it doesn't feel like one. Equally important, I think it's the realization that I don't have to fix it. This is the other reason I wanted to read you this letter. Check this out. Equally important, I think, is the realization that I don't have to fix it. I just have to hold the space for it and truly surrender it. So, I have to just read this last part. So she goes, so I'm doing the 40-day prayer, and I'm able to receive as much as I'm open to. I received a necklace that a colleague was going to give away. Somebody came and just took me out to dinner. A can of soup came when I was trying to decide what to have for lunch. These are all, and then, you know, she's just saying, like, it starts with these small things and then it grows and grows. And I don't even consider those things small. If you've always been a giver with the belief that no one will show up for you, someone taking you out to dinner and you allowing that is a big deal. Receiving that can of soup is a big deal. All of it, you're slowly retraining the neurons that you deserve to receive. So the only other thing I want to say with the letter is that if, like we did with the other one, if anybody wants to write to Lucy and send this exquisite woman a gift so that she does get the experience of receiving, she's in Europe. So if that's, you know, whoever is cool with that, please let Lucy know and we'll take the first person that comes, because I do think it would be a lot of fun if a gift went to her, even if it's in return for the gift of the exquisite, eloquent letter she sent in. So, all right, there you go. All right. So let me go to this because it's very tied to Chiron. She says, Dear Tosha, how do each of you know when your own inner child is crying? If you don't mind sharing, I guess she had put this originally on the forum page, it would help me so much to share this. What does it feel like when your inner kid is sad or scared or upset? And how does it manifest in your daily life? Can you share an example? And she says, my heart's desire is to know my own power and to be of value of the planet, on the planet. So I really want to discuss how to make this real. And then she actually says here what how her own inner child shows itself. She goes, today my inner child is crying like a worried and nervous energy around accomplishing tasks that feel overwhelming. And she says that this morning I was able to identify her fear inside of me, her fear that I cannot do it all. All morning long, I felt like I was crying inside and I needed to be held. No one else will come to the rescue in this, which I know from experience. And I felt scared that I couldn't comfort myself, but I did my best. So I think the way she wrote this is actually exactly how it works. You start, you know, I don't know if you know this word. Amazingly, I had never heard this word before this week. But I guess there's a therapy word called self-referential. And the self-referential means, you know, you're not getting distracted by all the shoulds and judgments on the outside. You're using the inner self as a reference point for what's occurring instead of the outside as a way to beat yourself up. So when that kid, just like she's saying, you know, all of a sudden you're in this place, you're sad, you're lonely, you're tired, you're cranky, you're lashing out at people, it could be anything. And if you can take that step back, if you can just take that step back from the emotion, not to make it go away, but to say, who's the one feeling this? Who's the one feeling so unworthy? Who's the one feeling so burdened? That is usually the doorway into taking care of the kid. And, you know, an easy way to do it is to talk to the kid as you. So when you say, oh, you're feeling overwhelmed right now, you're feeling scared of disappointing people. You know, I mean, that I would say, to make it personal, I think I even write about it in the book, that as a Capricorn, that was really a wound that took over huge expanses of my life, that perfectionism, that girl that learned, you know, in my family with my dad, oh my God, if you make a mistake, there's going to be hell to pay. That part was so terrified of making mistakes that it just made more and more mistakes happen until I could finally turn to her. I remember when I did, at some point I just turned to her and I said, you get to make all the mistakes you want today. And I am just going to be with you. And that's not to give encouragement to be reckless or absent-minded or spaced out. It was because she was so scared of letting people down, making mistakes of any kind, that part of the healing for me was I would just sort of have like mistake dates. Like, we can just screw up constantly and I'm just going to hold you. And she kind of got it out of her system. Like, the terror that she had to come, you know, from that permission. So I think everybody's inner child comes in a different way. I was talking about it last week too. It different ages, different experiences, but you just start to be able to feel that the emotion coming up, whatever it is tied to that younger part. And then you begin to attend to it, rather than be the one who thinks you are that. If you think, oh, I'm a perfectionist, oh, I can never let anybody down, oh, what if people are angry at me? That is a walking nightmare. When you think, that's how my kid very understandably learned to think in a troubled family. That's how the kid learned to think. And now you have the golden opportunity to turn to him or her and say, we're setting up a whole different life now. So I hope that helps with that. It's funny, you never know when you're going to even have a slip about that. I was at my acupuncturist the other day, and he's very, how can I put this? Like a sort of a tightly coiled person. Like, he's hard on himself and he's a bit hard on his patients, but he's also super helpful. So I was there and I accidentally knocked over a glass of water, and I swear it was Chiron. Because I immediately felt this panic come in my body of, oh my God, you know, what's he going to do? Like, oh my God. And I, you know, was like, so sorry. And for whatever reason, he just started laughing. And I was like, oh, wow.
you know, I could feel in my body that hypervigilant child that, you know, knocking over a glass could have been like World War III. And, you know, to just witness that girl and then go, it's okay. You just knocked over a glass of water. Things happen. It's very powerful. So just notice that kind of stuff, that you could, all kinds of things like that could be coming up in the next week from the Chiron. All right. Yeah, I actually have to say I love this one that came in a couple of weeks ago. We're still dealing with older ones. And it says, she says, doesn't all the healing really boil down to implementing and resting in self-love and connecting to divine love as a dance? I get the different aspects of self, like the inner child, the divine warrior, connection with the divine. But with Chiron bringing up the deepest wound, isn't it really about the healing, not just identifying the wound? For me, I can identify various wounds, and they seem related to my old story. However, as I surrender and cultivate acceptance, the love, joy, and happiness resurfaces. Well, yes, 100%. And don't get me wrong. That's why this is a spiritual forum and not only a psychological one. I really would have no interest in just helping people identify their wounds and just get a list of, you know, oh yeah, well, this one, that one, because you're still in the delusion of thinking you are those wounds when you have a list. It's like, well, I'm all these things, da 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 da. So the foundation of the forum is offering. It really is. It's taking, just as you say, it's taking the wound that comes up, whatever it is, handing it with open hands back to love. And as you do that, it's exactly what you say. You learn how to rest. The act of handing it back to love and saying, show me how to treat myself with love and compassion. Show me how to look at that wound with the eyes of love and bless it, because that wound is really, in the big picture, what makes you, turns you, the healing of that wound is what turns you into your own true self. You know, that's why the wound isn't there to be cursed. I mean, that's why when I was talking to my friend and he just kept saying, make all this shit go away so I can be awakened, it was like, no, the shit is the compost for it. As soon as you bless it and rest in it and say, I'm here in whatever these conditions are, let me bless it, let me rest in it, let me love myself in it. It's everything you just wrote. So for me, it doesn't come. The identification of it is just helpful because some people have very literal minds and they need to know. What I'm letting go of is unworthiness, or what I'm letting go of is perfectionism. And for some people, that's very helpful. But the real gist of what we're doing here is offering that wound back over so that you can rest in the true self. And I've said it in other calls, but it always stays with me. There's a certain percentage of letters that I get that are from people who have studied with teachers that I really love. I love certain teachers' work. Like I love Eckhart Tolle's work, or I love Ajahn Chah's work. However, there's a certain percentage of letters I get every month that are people saying, I finally understand now on a practical level how to stay in the now. I finally understand on a practical level how to surrender. And I just think maybe it's a different kind of mind. But for my own mind and my own way of being, somebody saying to me, yes, just rest in peace and beauty, never worked. Never worked. Just surrender. Just let it go when you're desperately attached to something. And so a lot of this work came out of the way my own mind is structured, that I needed tools to learn how to actually do this and not just talk about it. So I'm always thrilled when, you know, people say, I finally understand these other teachings now. I needed practical tools that would let me start to live it. So anyway, I hope that helps. All right, let me see if I can go over to here's another one that is very tied. You guys are sending very Chiron questions, so we might as well keep going. Hitosha, I love, love, love the forum, and I'm so grateful for the weekly calls. Thank you. I am too. I don't ever seem to stop being grateful for these. Could you talk more about shadow work? Recently, I've noticed that I get really annoyed when I'm around certain kinds of people. For example, real know-it-all types or ultra-spiritual people. I even get a physical reaction, like shaking, shallow breathing, and a strong need to protect myself. In my communication, I become very cold, and I try to distance myself as much as I can. I normally try to calm down my terrified inner girl who feels unsafe. But lately, I've been thinking that maybe the annoyance comes from my own repressed shadow. I know I often project my qualities onto people that I'm attracted to, like I'm reowning my projected parts, and I'm starting to feel whole and complete by doing that. But I'm confused about how to work with the parts that I'm ashamed and afraid of. So any thoughts of this would be greatly appreciated. So does everyone get what she's saying? Because I think it's a really important question. And it's, you know, people know Debbie Ford's work. She's no longer alive, but she had some really beautiful, I don't know how many books she had out, but they were really about the integration of the shadow. And it's just what you're saying. You're right. It's that the things that bring those visceral, like deeply hated, you know, when somebody's embodying something that you're just so repulsed by. You could say that the way the shadow's operating is to dig up that hidden part of the self and let you reconnect to it. And I'll tell you one way I do it. I don't know how I started doing this. I started doing it years ago, that if somebody is really being, I'll give you an example. There's a certain astrologer. Some of you might know, I'm not going to say his name. Some of you might know who he is. His videos drive me nuts. Well, they drive me nuts less now, because I'll tell you what I do. But his videos used to really drive me crazy, because they sort of had that energy that you're describing in your letter. I was sort of know-it-all and sort of patriarchal and sort of lectury, and, you know, it took me back to my childhood, and yet at the same time he would give some good information, and so I'd be listening to these going, oh my God, how can I listen to this without losing my mind? And then one day I started thinking, I'm going to listen to him feeling the little boy that he must have been growing up who wasn't listened to. Like I just had such a deep sense, rather than just being in a state of reactivity, like just thinking what an idiot he was and how ridiculous, I started feeling the young kid that, I don't know his childhood, I don't really know anything about him, but that something, I could feel it, something must have happened that let him learn to do this as a way to survive. And the minute I could make him in my mind into that young child who was sort of like, me, 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 I'm the best, get me, the minute I could feel some compassion for him. So then I was started to be able to listen to some of his recordings and take, sort of like they say in 12-step program, take what you like and leave the rest. Like I didn't have to spend all my time being in reaction. And that way, you know, I could feel the part of myself that it was hitting that came out of fighting my own dad growing up. So does that make sense? I think if you can notice the person who's acting as a trigger and in your mind turn them into somebody very young or wounded or fearful or lonely, it'll almost always take you to a place where you can feel compassion for them, and then you can direct it towards yourself. If you're still in that state of just hating them, it'll keep pushing the shadow back down. So that's one of my ways of doing it. He's been incredibly helpful. I thought, oh, I could write him a letter and tell him how the annoying lectures have been so helpful with the shadow. And then I thought, oh, I don't think he really needs to know that. But anyway, that's how I would do it. And then I think also you can even do a prayer that says, you know, help me, divine, help me own the shadow. Help me just turn to it. It's really very, it's the Chiron. Help me turn to this disowned part and just say, you know, I welcome you into my arms too. I mean, sometimes I think, you know, Rumi and Hafez, those the Persian poets, the Sufi poets that were writing about, like open your arms wide to all the expressions that are out there. It's like in a way you're opening your arms to the shadow and you're saying, you too are part of God. Like I, let me embrace you. And sometimes the shadow is a very small part of you. It's not a big part of you, but it's getting stimulated by what you're witnessing. Especially if you're having such physical symptoms, I think that's very powerful in a way. And these tools might be helpful for that. Okay, if you need more on that, just please send it back in. All right, let me go to this one more here because I think it's a great question. So, he says, thank you for all the magical work you're helping us with. I found OO at the end of an awful year of being so exhausted from struggling. And I have, he's saying he's looking forward to the new book because I grew up in a culture of scarcity and never having enough. And it even, I love this, it even celebrates grasping. Is something to be aspired to. So your closing remarks on the book launch call made me cry for the best reasons ever when you said the days of chasing and grasping are over. So here's my question. I have another resource that I'm always short of, which is time. And so I wonder what your thoughts are about translating it's not your money to time. For example, could you offer to the divine all of your time in the same way that you do money? And then he says, also, probably this is my small self, but I feel like it's a little unfair that we're the ones saddled with the work that previous generations didn't deal with, and that we get courted and inherit their baggage. I'm truly glad to have the tools to do the work, but could you offer a little wisdom on how unfair it feels? And that would be greatly appreciated. Well, let me talk about the unfairness part first, and then I'll talk about time. I mean, the way I see this is the nature of this is the nature of incarnate existence. Like it's nothing new. I don't know that there's, you know, unless you go back to cultures that truly were sane and healthy and loving, you know, maybe indigenous cultures or cultures many, you know, millennia ago, there's always been the baggage getting inherited from whoever, you know, to me, that's part of incarnate existence. Maybe that's part of the game, is that if you're lucky, you end up with tools to know how to get out. And that to me is just, I never even think about the unfairness about it. I just think, thank the freaking God to have tools for awakening. And so maybe that'll help you, because I just think it is what it is. Give the tools for how to not stay trapped in the prison. Otherwise, you'll just, you know, waste the incarnation feeling, you know, angry at what is. However, this other part about time is really, really interesting to me, because I've thought about it a lot. You definitely can offer all time to the divine. In fact, you can offer anything, right? But it's been something really on my mind, because, you know, when people say, like some people will go, you know, when I turned 45, I suddenly realized I didn't have infinite time, and I really had to start picking and choosing what matters and what doesn't. And that happens to different people at different ages. I think that it's really powerful when you start to offer your time back to the divine and really say, show me what matters and show me what doesn't. And not in any way to beat yourself up, but as a way of doing exactly what you're saying. It's very beautiful that the time on earth is sacred and precious, and that if you don't want to waste it or have that feeling that you're wasting it, you don't have to be frantic about it, but you can actually make that offering. I've done it myself. You can make that offering that you're giving whatever amount of time is remaining. You know, you might be somebody, some people live to be 99. You might have a lot of years left. Some people might be leaving this week. It's like, you don't know. So when you take that time and say, this is the divine's now, show me the most important things for me to be doing. Anchor me in what really matters, so I can make the most use of this incarnation to know, you know, my great self's agenda for me, that the following of that exalted blueprint that the soul came to do. I'm offering the time that remains, whether little or long, let me give it to you. It's very, very powerful. And I think, you know, one of the things is that you start to lose that sense of rushing. I was always in a tremendous hurry. I have four planets in Sagittarius, and I just grew up like, oh, you know, you've got to rush everywhere. And that really started changing for me from offering the time back. You know, you just can be telling yourself, well, it's God's time. There's enough time for everything that matters. There's enough time for everything that matters. That's why you're still on the planet, because you're not done yet here. So you might want to try that. No one's ever sent that question in, and I think it could be very powerful. You could even do a little ritual of offering your time back to the divine. All right, so what I wanted to do is give us a moment or two of metta so that we can have a little bit of a sharing of the blessings to help people through today's Mars-Uranus conjunction tonight and also for the final week of Chiron in Pisces. So if you can focus on your breath, oh, let me just say first, if you've never done metta before and you're new, I think we've been getting a bunch of new people because of the book launch. Metta is the sending of blessings. And you always start by sending it first to yourself, which is a great metaphor for everything in life, really. And then it'll go from yourself out to everybody else, and I'll guide you through it. So focusing on your breath. Breathing in, calming, quieting energy. Breathing out any tension, any fear, any worry, whatever wants to go. And then imagine that you're standing under a waterfall of golden light. It is pouring over you. And as it pours, you are filled with all of the blessings and healing of this light. You can feel it filling your mind, filling your body. You deserve to receive. You absolutely deserve to receive, including from yourself. You're just pouring this light to you, blessing you. You're feeling affection for this inner self. You may feel the child. You may feel the tender parts of yourself, and you're just pouring affection and compassion and blessings to you. You've worked so hard. You've done so much. You've given so much. Just sit back and receive from yourself. From the light that is you. And then you can allow this light to move around the circle, connecting all of us together. So it's pouring out from you into a radiant circle of golden light. No matter where people are located, anywhere on the planet, whether they're on the call right now or not, everyone part of the forum is part of this powerful circle of healing and love. And just allow it to pour through you. There's nothing you have to do except be an open conduit for that light. Pouring to everybody who needs it, particularly anybody who's having a difficult time right now, that you know your own value, worthiness, and beauty in every way, and that you be very, very patient and kind with yourself. You can feel this inner compassion growing every day a little bit stronger. So much easier to allow the inner kindness to blossom. This light is flowing around the circle to everybody. And then you can slowly bring it back to yourself, taking another moment, inundating yourself with that light. And whatever you've been waiting to hear from somebody else about your worthiness or your deserving or your beauty, now you can say it to yourself where it matters the most. You can say it to that inner child who's been waiting. And take a last moment and just sitting in that light, allowing it to hold you and support you and fill you. You may hear one word for this last week of Chiron and Pisces. One word may come up. That's your guide. And then as you're ready, you can slowly come back out, remembering everything that occurred. So go easy today. Just be attentive if you have to travel and move around. And if you don't, good day to kind of lay low and let it pass until tomorrow. And if anything on the call spoke to you, including, I should remind you, if anybody does want to be the Lakshmi goddess gift giver for the beautiful person in Europe who didn't get their match, right, Lucy, and she'll set you up. But otherwise, if anything on the call spoke to you, please do write it on that Facebook forum page. It's really become quite a treasure trove. And the audiobook, by the way, should be out this week, God willing. We have it recorded. We're waiting for Audible. And if you have the books and you never got the bonus stuff, the free call and the workbook, you can still write Lucy at info@toshasilver.com, and she'll get you that stuff. I have to do a moment of a shout out for Lucy. She's really been on top of juggling 20 different tasks here, and she's been amazing. So if you're ever writing to Lucy about any of this stuff, tell her she's wonderful. All right. I love you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.